Good morning. Beautiful morning the Lord's blessed us with today. Question for you, how many times is the word love used in the Bible? You're going to need to know this for entrance into heaven. No, not really. Because that's been granted already through Jesus. Depending on the translation one uses, the word love can be found over 500 times in the Bible. Do you think the word and what comes with it is important to God and what it's to mean for our life while we're here on this earth? The word love and its implications, well, we cannot hear enough the encouragement to love and where love starts and flows from and who it's to flow through. And so in a spirit of love, we turn to our invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. My soul finds rest in God alone.
My salvation comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation.
He is my fortress. I will never be shaken.
We worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to rise and shine. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.
My salvation and my honor depend on God.
He is my mighty rock and my refuge.
Trust in Him at all times, O people. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions.
I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through His called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. God, our refuge and strength, have mercy on your church as we come in prayer before you. Answer us not in judgment on our sins, but in peace and forgiveness. A reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, an example of what love for God is to look like and what it does not look like. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The word of the Lord.
We won't feel the buzz, oh, we won't feel the noise. We
Jesus is truth, and his truth sets the stage for love. What exactly does that love consist of? A reading from Holy Scripture, 2 John. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. It's really quite simple, the answer, that is. Unfortunately, though, we find ways to make it complicated. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" The son of David, they replied. He said to them, How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Lord.
Please be seated as we now continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace remain ours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We turn our attention back to these words from 2 John. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One expression of love that parents tend to pass down to the next generation upon the parent's death is a transfer of wealth. Now, that wealth can take place in the form of cash and or physical possessions. Sometimes we see the sign on the back of an RV which says, we're spending our children's inheritance, which then begs the question, should it be expected by the next generation a transfer of their parents' wealth? Now, it's a nice traditional gesture to pass on wealth to the next generation. But even more important is what parents ought to make sure gets passed on to the generation, not just upon their death, but even while they're still living on this earth. And that is the wealth of a spiritual kind, one which has no price tag, one which outweighs and outgives any physical wealth. It was and would be wise to put in legal writing the intent of the wealth to be passed on to the next generation, again, whether that be the physical wealth and also the spiritual wealth, to make sure the intent of passing this on to the next generation is clearly spelled out, as well as a way, hopefully, to shorten the length of time in reading and executing that last will and testament. And speaking of, the Holy Spirit led the Apostle John to speak of the importance of having and leaving a legacy, especially one that involves God and what He wants to see from the people of this world, and in particular those who call on Him as God and Lord and Savior. Of all the legacies that we could leave to the next generation, let us make sure this is one of those legacies, the one that's noted before us. It's that legacy of love. Love is to be our legacy. A legacy and love that is rooted in God and the love that He has shown and continues to show to each and every one of us. His love is a true expression of His grace and His mercy. And by definition of those words, grace and mercy, we truly get a clear picture of what God's love is. Grace is that undeserved love. He gives us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve love. And yet that is what He gets us. Mercy. Not giving us what we deserve. And what we deserve, because of who we are by nature, is eternal separation from Him. But instead of that being the only way, God in grace and mercy has made it possible for us to be able to spend eternity with Him. And in the meantime, while here on this earth, to use this time to get connected to Him. Thus, one's time of grace is so important, to get connected to God's grace and His mercy, an expression of His love. And at the height of that love, at the height of His grace and His mercy, is the gift of His Son, Jesus. When we review and read what Jesus has done for us out of love, there is no greater example of love. Jesus is the reason why we're able to be connected to God, our Creator, now and for all eternity. He is the one who took what we should have received, death on the cross, death for sin, and endured it in our place on the cross. Because our death would not have been satisfactory, but His death was. And not just for you and me as individuals, but for the entire world. Talk about a gift of love, a legacy of love from God the Father through Jesus, His Son. And where do we find out about Jesus and His love and God's grace and His mercy? We find that clearly in God's word of truth. Out of love, God has given us His word of truth. His word of truth then speaks about life's realities. Life's realities of why do people get sick? Why do people die? Why do people need a Savior? Well, God speaks the truth in love. In sin did my mother, King David said, conceive me. And that's the same statement each and every one of us can make. In sin did our mothers conceive us. We are conceived and born as enemies of God, and we'd be lost forever unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. All the harsh realities of living in this world are a result of sin in the world. Sin in general, and some because of specific things that we do. You rob a bank, well, the consequence should be you get locked up in jail. You kill someone, the consequence should be you get locked up in jail. But sometimes it happens when you're just driving along the road and you get in a car accident, and that car accident can change your physical life and emotional too. It's not because you did something specifically wrong. It's because we live in a sinful world. God's word of truth reminds us because of general and specific things in life, life happens. He doesn't make light of it, but he points out the why, and then points out how to endure it. His word also speaks the reality of when we don't love as God has called us to love, as he has created us to love, but because of sin we don't, well, it doesn't work out well. Jesus answered that point blank to the teachers of the law who asked him, what is the greatest commandment? Thinking again that they could trap Jesus in some word game, and Jesus, seeing right through it, says, well, the greatest commandment is the one that's always existed. Love God, which will then lead to a love for your neighbor. And he also defines later on who is our neighbor. Everyone. But because we do not love as God wants us to love, what do we see? We see war in the Middle East, nothing new under the sun. And it won't be until the end of time. Wars and rumors of wars. Killings, stealing, addictions, all because we don't love as God wants us to love. Harsh realities that God speaks in his word of truth. But thankfully, God also then brings about another reality in his word of truth, and that is about our salvation. The way to endure, a way to not continue in our wayward ways. And that is by focusing on him who is the greatest treasure of all time, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus point blank says with no apologies, I am the way and the truth and the life. The Apostle John in his gospel at the end of it reminds us that these are written, what we have in God's word of truth, these things are written so that you may get to know who Jesus is. And by getting to know and believe in who Jesus is, have life and have it to the full. God has given us a way to not have to endure life's harsh realities for all eternity, but to see hope and a way now and into eternity through Jesus. God indeed has left a legacy of love flowing from him through his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit using the gospel and word and sacrament passes on that legacy unto us so that we then can not only live that legacy, but pass it on to others. And so, dear friends, continue to live that legacy of love by having God's love shown through you. One of the ways to do that is by holding on to God's expectation for us. John reminds us of what that expectation is. It is to love. We are to walk in love. Now John is writing this letter, and some may can take it rightfully so. He's writing it to an individual and to her children, or he's also using it figuratively to the church and to the children of the church, to believers. Either one is acceptable and makes the point that in Christ we are to walk in love. He doesn't say, you know, you may want to consider walking in love. He says, no, walk in love, exclamation point. Because back in his first epistle, he says this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. You want to unburden your life? Walk in the love of God. Walk in His commands. The burden comes when we don't. And how much love are we to show toward Jesus? Well, Jesus answers that too in Matthew 22 when He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a total commitment love. This is not just a Sunday love. This is not just when I feel like it love. This is an all the time love. And now when we examine our life and we say, boy, Lord, you know, I haven't loved you with that total commitment love. Wow. What a sinner I am. And God says, you're right. But you don't have to wallow and live in that sin. Turn to my Son, who did something about that sin, so that you could be back in a position to love as God wants you to love. And even though God knows we're going to fail miserably every day in walking in His love, thankfully every day He picks us up by the bootstraps and says, you get a fresh opportunity to love as I want you to love, to live a legacy of love. Amen, brother. And so He gives us even more examples of how walking in love, what this to look like. From Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other, like Cain did with his brother Abel. Another way then to show a legacy of love is not only walking in love, but holding on to God's truth. John here in his second epistle is reminding the church that there are wolves out there in sheep's clothing, false prophets who are maligning the Word of God, the Message Bible, taking it way out of context, denying Christ. And if there's a denial of Christ, well, then there's a denial of the way of salvation. And isn't really that what the Reformation was all about? Putting the focus back on Christ? And while we're not celebrating the Reformation itself this morning, really every Sunday we celebrate the Reformation. We'll celebrate it this afternoon. We'll celebrate it again next week. Because at the heart of the Reformation is holding on to the truth, God's truth. That's a true legacy of love that we need to make sure it gets passed on to the next generation. For the psalmist reminds us, if we do not tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, what's going to happen? They're not going to know it, and they're going to die in their sins. John 8. If you hold to my teachings, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will do what for you? It will set you free. Walk in love, hold on to His truth. There's not a time we can let our guard down, because the wolves are rampant. And so this legacy of love, this is what not only God expects of us, this is what people should see from us. This unconditional love. Even if we're not shown love at first, even if people aren't kind and they're rude to us, that doesn't give us an excuse to be unkind and rude back, but rather to be the salt and the light, to set the example, to not let that person dictate how we are to be in Christ Jesus. And when we act that way, think of the impact that we can have, not only for your own mental state, but the impact on the home. I mean, how many homes today are not living legacies of love, but just the opposite? It's amazing the number of broken homes in our society today. And is there a wonder why our society is broken as it is? God created the family for the peace and stability of society. And when this family is broken up because of sin, so goes society. And then it impacts the church as well. But if we can live that legacy of love by God's grace and by His doing, again, the impact is tremendous on ourselves, on the home, in the church, and in society. Living that legacy of love, well, that starts then with a love for the Word of God, a love that God plants in our hearts. And it shows itself in the desire to grow in that truth and in that love, as Peter encouraged us, to grow in God's grace and the knowledge of His Word. Be like the psalmist who said, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, whether that be in person or online, because we can't make it in person. God, help us rejoice in His Word. His Word gives us so much to chew on, right? And to act on as well. The Word before us today is no different. God, help us then live the legacy that He has called us and put in us to live. A legacy which started with Him and is to be seen in us and is to be encouraged by those who still remain after we're gone to live as well. It really is quite simple. It's about His truth and His love. God, help us not complicate it. And what do God's people say to that? Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us join together in a confession of faith, the Nicene Creed, in the middle of page 10.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Please be seated. God be praised for the opportunity to help further the spread of His truth and His love through our thank offerings. God be praised through the generosity that He allows through you. And we pray, dear Father in heaven, with Your gift of a Savior, You restored hope for our fallen world and brought glory to Your name. We thank You for the good news that You have reconciled the world to Yourself through Your Son. O Jesus, Lamb of God, we praise You for offering Yourself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all. On the cross, You declared the sacrifice for sins completed. At the open tomb, You assured the world that sinners are reconciled to God.
Be with us as You have promised, so that we may be bold and confident witnesses to our family members and friends.
Holy Spirit, blessed Counselor, use Your word of truth and power to break down the barriers to our witness including fallen mankind's natural hatred for God and Satan's wicked work among us.
Empower us by your gospel and encourage us to be faithful, fervent witnesses to the people among whom we live and work.
O Father, whence all blessings come, O Son, dispenser of God's store, O Spirit, bearer offerings home, Lord, make them yours forevermore. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, thank you for this opportunity in their life, and continue to watch over them, helping them see the blessings in their life together. Lord, as the physician of both body and soul, we commend to your mercy and care Martha Kohler and Linda Hafill, both hospitalized. May the treatments they are receiving bring healing. Mary Bartelt, having surgery this week, may the procedure and recovery go as the doctors have outlined. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send us by the power of your word into the mission fields beyond the walls of our church. Give us hearing ears and seeing eyes that seize the opportunities you set before us to be your witnesses.
And bless us as we declare Christ to our world. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit
and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. To God be the glory forever and ever.
Just a reminder that our Bible study today of proclaiming peace through Jesus, an opportunity to be reminded what is the message we have to share and how can we share it and why, again, we need to share it. The world definitely in need of peace as we ourselves are in need of that peace that Jesus has to offer. Later today, 4 o'clock, we have a Reformation service, Area Wells Reformation service that we're celebrating with a meal afterwards. So just FYI, the Lord's blessed us with, looks like a beautiful travel day for those who are coming to St. Mark's for that service. And then just direct you to the weekly news for other events that are going on here at church and school in the coming week or weeks. In addition to the prayers, what's mentioned in the weekly news, keep our teacher, Mr. Tyler Wall, in prayer as he received a call to teach at Divine Savior Academy in Delray Beach, Florida. So he's just deliberating that now. If you want to reach out to him with your thoughts on where, how his service here is going and what's expected of him there in Florida, please do so, reach out to him. And just then a reminder, based on the calendar, it looks like you get an extra hour of sleep next week. So we really should be ready to rise and shine next week for worship. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.